둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm going to save this.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button, of course. That way, you can keep up with the entire series. You get three brand new interviews sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Of course, you can grab it anywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And while you're doing that, if you could do us a big help, leave a review, give the show a rating, whatever's easiest and quickest for you. Those two things right there go so far in helping out a podcast grow. Ratings and reviews wherever you're subscribing to the Kyle Meredith With podcast from. Some of my recent guests, if that entices you, includes Peter Capaldi, the actor. You know him from Doctor Who. He was one of the doctors, teaming up with Tom Mucci to talk criminal records. We had McKenna Grace on here. McKenna's in the new Ghostbusters movie. She's also got some new music out. Janelle Monae, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Dolly Parton, Les Claypool of Primus, Keanu Reeves with his band Dogstar, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam. I talk with David Alan Greer about being in The Color Purple. Mikael Hausman, he stars in Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon. Gracie Abrams was here, Nisha Noor, the cast of Culprits, Vint Clark from Erasure, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Jack Antonoff of the band Bleachers. Of course, Jack, a super producer behind albums from Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey and Lorde, just to name a few. He's back with his latest album with his band Bleachers, this time a self-titled record. And Jack and I are going to discuss the band's direct threads to his 2000s group Steel Train, when I became familiar with him. What the original title for the record, Tribute Living, said about the themes heard within, and how he sees each album as a movie. Jack's also going to share his thoughts on a society heading towards a new kind of monoculture, the heartbreaking moments from his past that still share a narration in his current songs, and which of his new songs he thinks is the best he's ever written, and why he says Lana Del Rey has a perfect voice. All that and more, we're talking about their new self-titled record, Bleachers. It's Kyle Meredith with Jack Antonoff.
Good to see you.
How are you?
Pretty good. I got up in California last night, back to New York. A little fucked up, but mostly good.
Glad I catch you right at this great moment in your in your week. Yeah, I'm not gonna miss that. By the way, you pointed that out. I just finished the REM, the Michael Stipe interview, and there you were, right smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was a very random moment.
Is I don't know. You have a lot of those random moments, but
I have a lot of random moments. Rarely is there a reporter present during the random moments.
Does that make any difference at all?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that like there's a lot of I think the relationship between press and artists has gotten so funny, because I believe artists should be protected. And I think often, you know, just the way that things work and the way that things become successful is when there's, I guess the term is clickbaited, but when there's a draw. And so I feel like artists are more and more cautious now. And then journalists are more and more kind of, you know, trying to find that angle. And it's just become a funny relationship because I feel like very few artists now actually show journalists how the sausage is made because they're too afraid of some passing moment that will become the main event.
I can't imagine being on your side for any of that stuff. Like even just, I'm going to get back on topic, but even like award shows, like the MTV Awards used to be like all crazy and everything. It's like, everything's a bit more reserved. And I understand that.
Well, it's just a time period that will get past, but it's just, a lot of artists, we have to work overtime now to keep the focus on the music.
Well, let's talk about the music because I'm such a fan of what you've done. I've been following you since Steel Train. In fact,
crazy. Very few people.
Yeah, when I was thinking about, you know, because this interview, and I think about that moment, there's a moment that is forever burned in my head. Steel Train was here in Louisville, where I'm based, and you're playing at this club called Headliners, and it was
we were opening for Rich Robinson.
I don't remember that part. I came to see you all, so that's
we definitely weren't headlining, but.
But it was the end of the set, and you all had your arms around each other, and it wasn't like the bow moment. It was like this communal moment of music.
Yeah, we used to do this song all around one mic. It started because we played tiny venues where you could do that, and then we realized that I don't know if you can get a crowd to be quiet, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it doesn't always have to be super loud. I miss that. Maybe we should do that with bleachers.
That's where I wonder, like, how strong is the connection? Of course, there's fun in the middle, the band fun, and then, you know, the production career really takes off. But when I hear bleachers, I still hear some of those thumbprints, those fingerprints of Steel Train.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, if anything, it goes like Steel Train, bleachers. Fun is like a more of like a detour because that wasn't, that was a band I started with two friends at the time. So it wasn't my lyrics and solely my songs. Whereas growing up, I always wrote and recorded my music, and then Steel Train was my music. And then so I see Fun as kind of like a to the left of it, and Steel Train and the bleachers is more because even songs like, you know, by the time Steel Train had ended, I had probably written songs like I wrote Roller Coaster not very long after, which ended up becoming a bleacher song, because the writing process for Steel Train and bleachers is no different.
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jack Antonoff.
So you come around to this album, and it's self-titled, and I kind of laugh because to me, sometimes self-titling could be the easy thing to do, but it ends up speaking so much more. Like, we're betting on ourselves.
Kind of both, yeah.
Yeah. Like, is there a reason? Because sometimes you just can't think of a title, you know, but sometimes it actually does mean
something. No, I had a title. The title was Tribute Living. Because I was writing a lot about what happens to you when you lose someone, and then your version of sort of moving into the future is dragging it all with you. But then the reason why it's self-titled is because the more I started writing and the more I started working, I realized it was the first album I'd ever made pretty much since the Steel Train self-titled album where the band itself and the experiences of the band becomes the reference point. So when you're first starting a band, you know, the first album, you're like, oh, you know, I remember the first Bleachers album. It was like, oh, I like the way like Vince Clark synth sounds, but I like how like loose like Dexys or E Street can be. And, you know, these type of lyrics speaking from, you know, this kind of like Midwest emo New Jersey thing that I have going on. You know, you're talking all these reference points. Second album, oh, we'll do this, that, blah, blah, blah. And this was the first album with Bleachers where it was like, you know, like Hutch, play it like you do during this part of the set. Let's have the horns do it like at the end of Don't Go Dark when we're playing live and we're kind of bouncing around, but we'll do this. You start to realize, hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, every reference point at this point is just my friends. And so it felt like the first moment, not a restarting of the machine, not a claiming of new ground as much as just the first moment that it was appropriate to say, this is it.
I love that. There's still moods on here that I wonder, not at the reference points. Like, there's a couple songs, I'm Right on Time and Me Before You. Like, I Am Right on Time, I imagine this video in the 80s, you know, the music video that they were shooting, the guy riding on the bed, and he's, you know, is trying. And then Me Before You is that part of the movie where you figure out, well, this isn't going to work out, but maybe we're still a little flirty. You know, like,
yeah.
it's all part of one big movie in my head, I guess. I don't know if you ever see these songs like that, though.
Oh, totally. I see every album like a movie. And I think what's interesting about albums is that I think we all see them like a movie, whether we make them or listen to them. But then all we have, it's sort of like, you know, you wake up from a dream and you're like, that was a crazy dream. And it's like, well, you wrote it. That's how I feel about the way that we see music. You know, that's your movie. That's, I guess, you know, even if you were thinking about someone else, it's like your life is laced into it. So I always get really excited to hear how people take it and what they put around it. It's just like dreaming in that way, or it's, you know, you wrote it.
Well, as someone who grew up in the music video generation and loves soundtracks, you know, that's I do that a lot.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of back in the video generation too.
It's happening, right?
I just feel like it kind of like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these like systems that everyone closed the door on, whether it was vinyl or music videos or these things, like, are all of a sudden like bigger than ever. I feel like that feeling again when I was younger, and I'd be so excited to see how an artist was going to represent the song in a video. I feel that again when people put music out.
Yeah, it's not so much curated to you anymore in the same way in the monoculture kind of pushed it, which I do miss, like, because you have to search for it. And if you miss it, then you missed it.
But I still think we're heading back to that, too. You know, I think the idea of monoculture is, it's a bad thing because of the space it doesn't leave for others. But it's a good thing because it creates this like collective experience, even if we don't like it. I mean, I've had some of the most interesting conversations in my life speaking about big monoculture things that I don't respond to. And then obviously there's the glory of when we have these monoculture moments where we do respond. I think we all long for it in some way or another. And my hope and assumption is that we could take some of the things we've learned and, you know, not go into the same old gatekeeper thing, but then also still rally around things as a group.
On the movie of this album.
Yeah.
You know, I know how I see it. That first line, first thing we hear is "We Were Kids." What is the movie of this album to you?
The movie of this album is someone actually not flirting with moving on, not toying with moving on, but actually moving on. Reflects my life. There's been a lot of things that have happened in my personal life that have been things, positive things that I never thought would happen. And, you know, my story is really, I really started writing music really in, really intensely and with purpose when I lost my sister when I was younger. She was sick, and then she died when I was 18. And so a lot of my work, I always use the example of like a rubber band. It feels like I'm always rubber banding back to that moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not writing about the past. That's writing about formative events through the lens of wherever you're at. And I was very much at peace with that. I thought, that'll be my perspective, and that would be great. Hence the title, I was toying with tribute living. But something happened. On one side of things, my personal life, I got married. And then in the more public space with the band, I just felt like the music I was making and the way the band was playing, it felt like a kind of a new time. it's a bit hard to explain, but I just felt like for the first time I could write from other perspectives and not just through this like grief lens. Not that I don't on the album, but so I Am Right on Time is just the beginning statement of kind of recapping that story really quickly into Modern Girl, which is so present because that's the sort of story of the band and culture right now from my lens.
It's interesting hearing that because, you know, I'm looking at some of these other things, like even Jesus is Dead. And then in Woke Up Today, when he says, I woke up today and I saw God. I'm not even thinking that it's so much in the religious, you know, I'm now thinking that exactly in the lens that you're saying, which, by the way, I also wanted to say, Jesus is Dead. My reference, you remember the band Pinback?
Yeah, I loved Pinback.
Rob
Crow. Oh, cool.
Yeah, such so that, a mood in that. I love
that. Yeah, that very like kind of dry. Well, that's one, like, I don't know if you'd call, there was that moment, you know, emo is a funny word because it's taken different iterations. But when I was growing up, it was a proud word. You know, it was Texas is the Reason and, you know, kind of like we called Fugazi emo, Frank, practically. But that some of that kind of guitar movement is very in that zone.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jack Antonoff.
There's Tiny Moves. You wrote, I think it was on the document that you posted on Instagram. You said Tiny Moves is the best song I've ever written.
Oh, without a doubt.
So why?
Because there's just this, you're always, you know, the most important thing when writing is to sound like yourself and be individual, period. And the more you structure a song, the harder that is to do. You know, the more you rely, you know, it's like, and there's just something about that song where it's so direct in its form and yet feels so much like me. And I've just never really had one like it. I kind of waited my whole life to be able to write a song like that. I don't know. Even as I'm talking about this, I'm not sure that I actually have a reason for that. I guess the most basic version of it is if you could like cut me open, that's probably the music that would come out. And that's just a really hard thing to stumble upon because often it's the collage that makes the whole thing. I don't know. I have to think about a better answer for that because it's just something I feel.
Sometimes that's all it is, right? It's just something you feel. It doesn't have an answer. Not even in these moments. I know I'm up against the clock. I just want to ask, you know, Alma Mater, which, by the way, nice Tom Waits reference in that one.
Very few people grab it.
And you've got Lana's voice in there. As a producer, as someone who's produced, what is it about her voice that we love so much?
It's the perfect voice. There's just very few. I mean, it's smooth and it's comforting and it's scary. It's everything. Yeah, there's just very few. There's only two people in my opinion who've ever had that voice, and they don't sound similar, but it's her and Roy Orbison are the two people that do a similar thing to me.
I love the way you. I mean, it's not the first time, obviously, but the way you guys sound together, and that's such a weirdly cool track. I mean, it's a little weird.
Yeah. It was very odd. It was written in these pieces, and it was just it sounds like The Room to me. You know, there's a surrealness to it, which I love.
I love this record. If I can go ahead and say that my favorite album of 2024 exists and I've heard it,
I'll take it. Yeah. Put it on the wall.
I really don't think I'm going to hear anything better than this. I love this so much, and I've loved everything.
Thank you so much. That means a great deal to me because very, very few people have heard it. So I'll carry your words.
I appreciate it, Jack. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Thanks for being here all these years, man. It's wild.
And my thanks to Jack, the new Bleachers record, self-titled. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. 3 brand new ones every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With, and don't forget to give it a rating and a review. After that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Come and listen as we spin some favorites from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, lots of 90s. You'll get, lots of new music. There are bonus interviews, music news. Again, that's Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Bye, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.